welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
And so now you know that I am number 8 of 16 in our men's ministry pool in our church out of the Super Rugby Fantasy League. I would have thought I would be much better, but I had a bit of a slow start, and I'm not hearing the end of it. Now, this has been posted all over Facebook as well, so bear with me. I'm not following the scores now, but I was yesterday during a counseling session, and I got into some serious trouble, but that's just between you and me. Right, okay, so, I am the senior pastor of the Elimful Gospel Church. We're there across the Brooklyn Police Station. Some people would say we are well situated, being across a police station. They've come in handy once or twice, and they've also been a bit of a liability as well, especially when the one guy escaped the one day from the cells and ran into our church. But thank the Lord, he ran into our biggest usher in the church, so he was going nowhere. So we've been there, and we as a family have been ministering there at the church for 23 years now. I took over from my father, Dr. Willie Boyson, at the end of 2010. And it's been challenging. The past 2 years and a bit has been really blessed, very challenging. But we give God the glory for what he is doing there. Now, to just give you a bit of an introduction, I've entitled this afternoon's chat with you, I don't want to call it anything else but that, Keeping the Cross in Cross-Cultural Ministry. It is vitally important that we continue to keep our eye on the prize, that we continue to understand that, and I know when they say you're preaching to the choir, I understand I'm preaching to the choir this afternoon when I say you must keep the cross in cross-cultural. And yes, we know there's multicultural, there's intercultural, there's cross-cultural, but cross-cultural worked for my title. So we're going with cross-cultural today, okay? And it's vital that we don't forget why it is that we are doing what we are doing. To tell you the honest truth, I can only speak to you today from my personal experience, from what we experienced since the mid-90s when we made it a prayer issue before the Lord. And we went to the Lord and we said, we understand that we are living in a changing country. We are living in a country where the dynamics, the political dynamics, the racial dynamics have always been stressed and strained, but now it's changing and we as a church need to adapt to it. And so at that time, my father was the senior pastor, and he went to the Lord that week. Actually, we as a family went to the Lord that week, and we said, Lord, we want to, because at that point in time, our church was not mixed at all. It was just us. You know what I'm saying? Okay, let me not elaborate, but it was just us. And I think it was the Wednesday or the Thursday, we went to the Lord and we said, Lord, we want to do this. We're taking the step in faith to do this. We are seeking a confirmation from you that this is the right step to take. You shouldn't be seeking a confirmation about something like this, but we sought a confirmation from the Lord that this was the right step to take. And that next Sunday, that very next Sunday, for the first time, and in those days it was 30 years odd of having the church in existence, we had two mixed families that came to the church. It had never happened before in our existence, and we went and we looked at each other and we said, I think there's our confirmation that we're supposed to be doing this. And from that point onwards, it continued to grow. Yes, it was slow in the beginning. But I want to tell you this, a lot of people are saying that the church needs to get with the times, they need to get with the modern times, and actually I dispute that statement, because I believe that it's been the church's role from the very beginning to be ministering to all different cultures, all different races, all different creeds. And it's not a case of us getting to modern times. It's not a case of us saying, okay, now we must adapt to the times that we are in now. I believe it's a case of us going back to basics and becoming what the church is actually supposed to really be about. And that is to not see any kind of creed, not see any kind of culture, not see any kind of race. Become colorblind and just minister, because everyone is a human being who's in need of grace. And yes, it takes something from you. And I'm going to be sharing a couple of our experiences today. I put it in a nice 5-point thing for you so that you can see some of the major issues that have come to our attention and have been challenging us and the principles that we've been following. And one of the funny things, you know, when you've advanced far enough along that when you ask some of your leaders and some of the people in your church whom you trust, because you can't just somehow ask anyone, but you ask the people who you trust, and I say to them, I'm speaking here today, can you just give me an idea of what makes our church work, how it is that we've been achieving what we've been achieving? And they come back to me and they say, huh? What do you mean? And I said, How have we been successfully facilitating that which we have been doing all these years? And we said, but we don't know. It just happened. It's just how it's always been. It's just how it's always been since we've moved into this church and since we've come there. And that for me is a sign of God's grace. It's a sign of God's success upon us in terms of that which we have achieved. Different churches are noted for different things, and I believe that we are noted for this. We are noted for the fact that there's no such thing as color or race or creed by us. It's all about Christ. That's everything that we stand for, everything that we believe. And it's something that has become our call, and you'll be seeing now as I'm sharing with you a little bit more the different things that we have been doing and the challenges as well as the successes as well as the hurdles that we've had to overcome to achieve the things that we've achieved. The first thing I want to share with you this afternoon is that you've got no other choice, but you must be all in. If you want to go cross-culturally, you must be all in. You cannot hold back one little bit, one little percentage point of your commitment towards the cause. Because if you do something like that, if you're going to say, we're going to go and we're going to go cross-cultural, multicultural, intercultural, whatever you want to call it, you've got to understand that your commitment has to be of such a nature that there is no turning back. There's no way you can endeavor to cross into that area, which, as you will see, is fraught with some challenges, and decide, okay, I'm going to hold a certain part of myself back. It's just not going to work. So some of the things that I want to share with you with regards to being all in is you must find a common motivation and purpose. You've got to find a common motivation and purpose for that which you are trying to achieve. Obviously, this is a biblical thing because we are at Planted. It's a church thing. It's a Christian thing. And so there's plenty of place in the Bible to find your motivation and purpose. And I'm using these two terms, or rather, they're usually used interchangeably, but there are subtle differences with what I'm using them today. The first thing for us is our motivation for doing this is, and has always been since about 5 years now when we changed it to this, is Jesus Christ first and foremost in all. That's what we do. Jesus Christ first and foremost in all. Now, biblical basis for that is Colossians 1:18, which says, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. That in all things he may have the preeminence. Now, if you're going to give Christ the preeminence in all things, that means you've got no other choice but to be totally sold out to him, sold out to what it is that he has called us to do, sold out to his vision, his mission for your church, for your personal life, for everything that you are doing, all the endeavors that you are striving after in your life. And so this is what literally our clarion call. We compare everything that we do to this. We've got new leaders. We literally have one full briefing session to tell them, how is it that you live according to Colossians 1:18, not only in your personal life, but also in leadership? How is it that you will approach Jesus Christ first and foremost in all? And it's not always that easy, because you've got a certain worldview, and you've got to make sure all of us come into life, into church, into ministry, into our work environment with a certain worldview that needs to be changed according to what God's word says your worldview should be. And I would like to encourage you. There's a website or a group that's called Worldview Weekend. They provide a bunch of different perspectives on worldview. And one of the things that they do is on the website, well, it was there 3 years ago, I don't know about now, but on the website you can do a test. There's, I think, 5 or 6, maybe 8 different categories of your worldview, and you'll be surprised. You'll be surprised how your worldview is challenged according to the biblical worldview with regards to finances, with regards to politics, with regards to the way you see things. Go and do that test if you can, and go and see how biblical your worldview really is. And when it comes to Jesus Christ first and foremost in all, you've literally got to put on those glasses and view everything in that light. So when it comes to cross-cultural ministry, when it comes to doing what Christ did, you can see that he himself did not hold back from anything. He did not hold back from anyone. There were no barriers that he created. There might have been barriers that other people tried to create in terms of accessibility to Jesus. But he himself created no barriers. He allowed there to be no barriers. He himself went out to the unpopular. He went out to the people. I mean, in those days, tax collectors, I don't feel that much better about taxes these days. So I know exactly Thank you, brother. I see you there. I know exactly how they must have felt in those days. But these days, tax people are actually quite nice. I've got a couple of them in my church. I've got to be nice to them. But when it comes to those days, it was really a bad thing. You didn't want to be in that man's company or those people's company. But he went there. He went with the most unpopular, the people who were the most unwanted. That was Jesus. That was Christ being Christ in the best way that Christ could be. And that's the example that we have to follow. That's what we need to do if we want to make sure that we are all in with this thing. Another passage that we do use as well, it's not necessarily the one that we use as our primary motivation, but kind of undergirds what Colossians 1:18 says. It says in Romans 10, verses 11 to 13, "But the Scripture says, whoever believes on Him will not be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon Him. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You know that principle. There is the gospel is for all people. The church is for everyone. You want to start going with cross-cultural ministry. Imagine all the other challenges that are out there in the secular society in which we are faced now, and some of the other challenges which I'm sure Philip and some of the other church leaders have had to deal with accessibility, with allowing people in the church, and your standard approach has to be that everyone and all are welcome. It doesn't matter who or what. And so when it comes to this, you've got to really understand that there is no holding back. There is no escape hatch. There's no back door. There's no thing where you can say, well, let me see, let me dip my toe in the water and see how it works, and then let me pull back. Because you're going to do so much more damage to the kingdom if you do something like that, and you're holding back, and for some other reason you decide this is not where we want to go, and you decide to then retreat from that, that is not going to be good for God's church, and that's not going to be good for you either. So that is the motivation. That's what drives us, and that's also what draws us. But our purpose is contained in Galatians 3, verses 26 to 29. Yes, this point is very biblically rich, but as we get on, we will have a bit less of that. "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." That is our purpose, that everyone puts on Christ, that everyone, no matter who, no matter what, is an heir according to the promises of God. It's sometimes quite difficult to maintain this perspective when you are challenged with things that are often foreign to yourself, things that are fly in the face of everything you might have been raised with, that you might have been encountering. And it literally does become a culture shock when you start dealing with these things. But I hold fast to what the Word of God says. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And if it's His call upon my life, and if it's His purpose, and I want to say this, I want to be as bold as to say, I don't think that we should, it's just like missions and evangelism. Listen, you don't need to find out whether it's God's will to evangelize. It's God's will to evangelize. It's God's will to go on missions, or to host, or to facilitate missions in whatever way. It's God's will for us to create disciples. "Go ye into all the world and world, and not make converts, but make disciples." Right? It's God's will for those things. You don't need to consult or wait on Him for that. And I want to say this. This thing about cross-cultural, intercultural, multicultural ministry, I believe, is also God's will. You don't have to ask Him whether He wants that or not. I believe He wants that. And it is up to us to start listening to that and allowing the Lord to use us and to facilitate us in such a way that this can literally diffuse throughout the whole church and even in your work environment, wherever you are. Because a lot of you might not be as involved in church, but you've got a workplace environment. And you've got to understand that when you are in your workplace environment or school, yeah, at varsity or wherever you might be, school, at a high school, primary school, understand this, that you can also not hold back. You can also not be only slightly in and then pull back the whole time. You're either going to fully embrace everyone and anyone, or you're going to be totally inaccessible and keep to yourself. You've got to change the mindset. And believe me, I want to say this, and I want to say this with the utmost love and respect. I was probably one of the biggest racists you could find. at high school, the me of today would probably want to kick the of the me of in those days. If I take a look at how I was then compared to how I am now, and I've still got a way to go. I'm not definitely not there where I'm supposed to be yet in any walk, in any part of my life. But the way I was then and the way I am now, two polar opposites. And I can say it's only one reason, and that's the power of Jesus Christ. There's only one reason, because Christ changes, and the power of Christ can change a person and make you that which you were never before. One of the favorite characters in God's word for me is the Apostle Paul, who was Saul, who was doing, who was persecuting the church, and look at what he became after that. If that could happen to him and change him, it can happen to you and change you. Another thing that we found about being all in is it's not just about you personally with regards to your church environment. You need to have total buy-in from your leaders and your seniors as well. Our church setup is a little bit different in the sense that we've got a very, very strong student ministry, which meets in the evenings, and the music is different, the vibe is different, the way we do things is different compared to the mornings. And don't get me wrong, I love the mornings. I really do. But the evenings is a lot more flexible. We are a lot more free. There's a lot more noise. Whereas in the mornings, we are more controlled because it's the seniors. And we cater for everyone in the church. And even then, the seniors, when we have church socials, church events, things like that, the people who have stayed, I'm going to be talking about the cost of intercultural now. But the people who have stayed are the ones who have said, we embrace this thing 100%. And the people who have stayed are the ones who do not mind mingling, do not mind doing whatever with whomever, whenever. And that comes from your leaders all the way at the top, and the trickle-down effect from there, all embracing this approach going forward. You've got to make sure. You know, we in our church, we ourselves, you might look at somebody and you might think, wow, this person looks like a leader, this person talks like a leader, this person walks like a leader, even smells like a leader. But we go to the Lord and we say, Lord, what do you say? What do you want? We don't ever pick somebody because we like that person. It's not a popularity contest, God's kingdom. I'm honest with you. It's about us waiting on God to show us people. And because He has done that, and that's been our approach, we have gotten leaders who are very open, and actually their mindset is that which we are trying to facilitate within the church at large. And so that's also something that we need to consider when it comes to the appointing of leaders, and when it comes to just having people involved, trying to drive this vision going forward. So that's the first thing, is that you must be all in. But the second perspective I want to share with you this afternoon is that you must be ready to confront some unpleasant realities. You must be ready to confront some unpleasant realities. Because the moment you start cross-cultural endeavors, you start facing these realities. Firstly, about yourself. Confront some unpleasant realities about yourself. And once again, I want to say, this is not me who's in conducting or performing a finger-pointing exercise this afternoon. I am sharing with you everything that I myself, on a personal level, had to go through. And trust me, I don't know, none of you here except Philip know me, but I'm not the easiest of characters. And the Lord has really had to do a lot of work in my life. You will find that the chances are good that you have prejudices that you need to deal with. I think all of us have. I mean, we find them in everyday environment in which we are. I mean, you've got certain teams that you support versus other teams that you don't support. You've got certain ways in which you do things versus ways in which you would never do things and never be found dead doing those things. When it comes to prejudices, you might have them hidden. It might, because it's become popular now to have never had prejudices before. I've never been a racist. Ever. Come on. I hear you. I hear what you are saying. And maybe in your case, it's true. But the majority of people have prejudices of a certain level, which we need to deal with. And it comes from all sides. And yes, this is probably not the most comfortable thing to be hearing me saying right now to you, but I say this with the love of Jesus, not judgmentally, and sharing, because I was that guy who had to deal with these things. And so you've got to deal with these in a loving and in an appropriate manner. You're not going to be able to fool people for very long. You can put on a mask, or you can put on a face or whatever, and when you're interacting with people, be all smiles and everything like that. But at some other point in time, you're going to be caught out. You know, I must be honest. Sometimes I come from a family that, let me put this as nicely and succinctly as possible. I come from a family that is a police family from the 70s, 80s, and 90s, previous century. Do you get what I'm saying? Right? So let's be honest. This family of mine is not, some of them have changed, but they're not the most accommodating when it comes to certain things, said euphemistically. And so when you have family gatherings and events and things like that, I simply just don't go to some of them because I just can't handle the conversations that arise as a result of something like that. In the past, as I said, the previous me would have participated in those. Now I just avoid those because I cannot deal with the provocation anymore. And so you're going to understand that all of us come from some other kind of background. Some of us maybe less so. Some of us might have come from a totally liberal background. But I believe that, it's a blanket statement, a lot of us have prejudices we need to deal with on a personal level. And these are things which we need to be honest with ourselves about. And I'm going to be honest again, the only way that you're going to deal with those effectively is when we do, as Romans 12:2 says, where it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The good and acceptable and the perfect will of God is to embrace all and everyone. You will also find, and I've touched a little bit on this, that you will encounter prejudices or realities about others. You start discovering that a lot of people confront you with this issue of culture and race. And I must be honest, one of the major things that I found is that culture, race, and heritage are of the most dearly held values that people possess and are the last vestiges in a person's life to give sway to change. People hold on to these things dearly with their whole life in certain instances. And they find it very hard to let go and to say, well, you know, maybe that is wrong. Or maybe I should adjust this for the sake of unity. Or maybe I should adjust that for the sake of love so that I can live love and be love to other people. And you're going to have to, as I said, deal with the truth yourself. But you're also going to have to encounter that in other people. And I want to be honest with you when I say, you know, it's very hard not to judge others. But please don't. Please don't. Just understand that that's where they're coming from. Just understand that when you are dealing with people who have been embedded in these ideas and ideals for so long that they're not going to change overnight unless there's such a powerful work of God upon them that He drives them to their knees, and when they wake up, they are completely changed. It's happened. But for some or most people, it's a longer term thing that takes a longer work that the Lord is busy doing in their lives because of the fact that these issues are so powerfully ingrained within our lives that it's hard to let go of some of them, if not all of them. So this is what we've encountered, and the way we've dealt with it is, firstly, we've just relied on the Lord and we've said, Lord, we are going to continue in this direction that You have put us upon. You know, and He's confirmed time and time again that it is His will by the things that we've been doing and by the feedback that we've been giving. As I said to you, when I was asked to speak, I quickly sent out, because we've got 5 million WhatsApp groups in our church, so I quickly sent out a bunch of different, you know, messages to everyone. And they were, kind of, as I said, confounded and shocked. And they said, what exactly are you asking? And I said to them, in short, because it was, sometimes I'm very verbose. My messages are sometimes this long. Imagine that on a phone and you can see. Sometimes, or rather I said to them, in short, one sentence, what makes us work? Like that. And the answers that we got and the feedback that we got and some of the things that we received was that when we came here, we felt welcomed. We felt that there was no prejudice. We felt that every culture was accepted. Every creed was accepted. Yes, within reason with regards to what we will be discussing, I think in points 3 or point 4, there were certain things that were allowed, certain things that aren't allowed, but everyone felt that there's such a level playing field. It's just that this is home. And some of them actually, I won't say they were offended, but they asked me, why exactly are you raising this issue now? I said to them, I just need to know, eh? Come on, just relax. I just want to find out what it is, what your views are. How often are you asked by your pastor what your views are? Anyway, but that's us. Okay, don't worry about that. And that was the feedback that we received. There was that, you know, some people came and they had preconceived ideas. You know, our church is very nicely situated that you don't always have to catch a bus to go somewhere else. So we're quite conveniently placed. I've been told that quite a few times. And so I say, that's fine. I mean, come to us. We'll get you saved or whatever. And you'll become part of the kingdom anyway. You know, I don't mind how you come to the kingdom as long as you do. And when they come here, they say that when they saw me or they saw my father, they saw some of the leaders, because on the church council, you know, there's some oldies there still. And we've got this thing where they were intimidated. And when they saw how free we are and how loving we are and how natural and normal we are, it erased all kinds of fears and prejudices and issues that might have come about were we not like that. But that didn't happen overnight. We started in the mid-90s with this. So in 2 years' time, it's been 20 years since we've been working at this. And as I said, we've had a lot of hits, but we've also had a lot of misses. We've had a couple of spectacular missteps, spectacular mess-ups, where this guy has to go and speak to those people wherever they are just to say, hey, I am so sorry, we've messed up. You know, we've had those. By God's grace, they become less and less and less. But it is a process, and it takes a while to get there. But it can, as I said, happen overnight. It's by the power of God. It's how He chooses to facilitate this process. The third thing, and I've been touching on this as well, and it's not all negative today, please. I'm just telling you what we encountered, is that there will be a price to pay. Following Christ's footsteps is never easy. Matthew 6, verses 24 to 25, then Jesus said to His disciples, if anyone desires to come after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for My sake will find it. You know, keeping the cross at the center of cross-cultural is not always as easy as it sounds. I've touched on these, so I won't dwell too long on these. The first thing you often find is that you find that there is a certain element of rejection. People reject that which they don't know or not comfortable with or not comfortable with dealing with. And so you may very well be rejected. I mean, when we started, we had a student ministry in those days of in the region, I would say, because remember, our student ministry only started in 1995, and so this was 97. We had probably in the region of, I'd say, 80 to 120 at that stage. And I'm sad to say we lost everyone because of that. And when that happens, you start asking yourself the question, am I doing the right thing? Am I doing the right thing? And that's why it's so vitally important that you understand from the very beginning that this is God's will for you. I don't think you got that. I want to say it again. You understand from the very beginning that this is God's will for you. Again, third time. Full. Is it always like this? Okay, I'm just checking. Okay, no, you've got to understand that there's no way that you must go ask the Lord, Lord, am I doing the right thing? This is the right thing. There's no other choice. And so if you are going to be dealing with rejection and challenges and costs or whatever else, you must understand that while there's going to be a cost, there's also a reward. And I'll touch on that a little bit later as well, according to time. This is God's will. You are doing the right thing. When you embark upon this, when you embark upon these endeavors, this is most certainly the right thing. And while there might be a lot of rejection and pain or whatever else, you must know that there is definitely a reward at the end of the day. Then you need to accommodate. You've got to accommodate different views. You've got to understand, we all think that my view is the right one. I'm always right. That's what I tell people. They don't always agree, but I'm always right. Even if you don't agree. And you have this view and you go forward and you got these strongly held positions, and when you are confronted with others who have as strongly held positions, what is that? That is a recipe for conflict. And so you find in 1 Corinthians 9, 19 to 23, for though I am free from all men, I've made myself a servant to all that I might win them all. And to the Jews I became as a Jew that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law as to under the law that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law as without law, not being toward law, without law toward God, but under law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became as weak that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men that I might all by all means save some. This is about saying you've got to accommodate so that you can get some saved. And not everyone who walks through the doors of your church or who comes into your life will get saved. I know it's your heart's desire. That's why I think we have such a strong affinity for one another, our churches, is that everyone should be saved. It's our desire that when whoever we come in touch with, if you walk through those doors and you're unsaved, I want you walking out of those doors saved. That's bottom line for me. But it's not always going to happen. What we do know, however, is that we will do what it takes to get you saved. At the end of the day, getting saved is a powerful work of the Holy Spirit upon the life of somebody. But God uses us. He uses us as His servants to preach the Word, to live the Word, to preach and live love, and to be love, and to be Christ to people. As far as I can remember, while Christ confronted people about their sins, he never said to them, or he never did something in such a way that they were offended in terms of what you are. You were offended perhaps of your sinful state, but not who you are as a person. And so we, as God's children and God's church, in our work environment, in our church environment, wherever we are, we need to make sure that we become all things to all people that we might be able to save some. So when it comes to some of the cultural elements that we're dealing with, I have to deal with those things, and I feel sorry, because let's be honest, my culture also has some weird and freaky things that they do. And so we have to deal with all these different elements, and it's now become to a point where I'm quite comfortable because I'm quite familiar with a lot of the things that are taking place. But one of the feedbacks, I don't know if that's a word, but the feedback that we got from a couple of people was that we deal with that with love and we deal with that with compassion, but we are uncompromising with that. What that means is, and this is the message that we communicate, and that is this: celebrate your culture and live your culture as much as you possibly can, as far as it does not conflict with your new Christ culture. And that's what we say all along. In fact, when you are saved, you've adopted a Christ culture. And so the elements from your own culture that are okay, that do not conflict with God's Word, the Bible, they are fine. I mean, if you want to, involve yourself with those. But the moment something takes place that comes into conflict with what God's Word says, you can't do it. And it's a non-negotiable. It's a non-negotiable. This is very hard. This is one of the things that we've had to deal with the most over the years, is this specific thing, that when culture conflicts with the cross, and when culture conflicts with the cross always wins. The cross must always win. And so what's happened is it's caused some people to be rejected by family. It's caused some people to be disowned even. But speak to them today. Most of them are still with us, those who haven't graduated and moved to another part of the country or part of the world even. And ask them whether that price was too much to pay. And their answer to that is no. Because Christ wins. The cross wins. When it comes to choosing between Christ and culture, Christ wins 10 out of 10 times. Yes, it's not easy. It's not easy, but God is faithful and just and righteous. And the third point of this, the third sub-point of this point is you've got to accommodate, yes, but you've also got to be resilient in the face of rejection, in accommodating others, in standing strong. But the fourth perspective I want to share with you this afternoon is that change is difficult, but pursue it vigorously. Pursue it vigorously. Don't hold back from pursuing change. There is a saying that goes, it's something like this. It goes, everyone knows what they want, but not everyone knows what they need. Everyone knows what they want, but not everyone knows what they need. And sometimes people need change, even though they might not want change. And let me say this. I've felt often the opinion or the perspective is that the older generation are more resistant to change. We have got some people in our church who are in their 70s, in their 80s, and even in their 90s who are more sprightly, have more life, have more energy, are more adventurous than some of the teenagers and the early 20s people that we've got in our church. And they do things. I mean, I've got a guy there who the other day, look, never mind the fact that he broke his ankle at the end of last year while he was busy climbing something and fell off, and he's 78 or something. two, 3 weeks ago, he was riding a quad bike and the quad bike rolled. Amen, yeah. Quad bike rolled. So for 6 weeks, he was walking with a cast on this leg. Now he's got another 6 weeks of walking with a cast on this leg. It's the funniest thing in the world. You want to take photos and just post them, but you don't want to be disrespectful either, because the poor guy, he is in pain. This man, he is the most adventurous person in the world. He happens to also be our Brazil mission leader. We've got a Brazil mission that goes every single year. I think he's been there about 18 or 20 times. Yeah, passionate. Very passionate. I mean, this guy, he's absolutely amazing. And he puts some youngsters to shame. I would never in a million years get on a quad bike. And here he is riding and writing them off. So that's fine. So here he is, and he does this, and he's got all this energy, he's got all this vigor, he's got all this vitality, he's doing all these things, and he's probably one of the older generation guys who's on the forefront of doing this, and he says to me, "Conrad, things are changing too slowly." I say, "Whoa, relax." He says, "Put the Hillsong." I say, "We sing Hillsong stuff and other stuff in the evenings. We write our own songs and we sing them in the evenings. In the mornings, it's still hymns and some Hillsong stuff." He says, "I'm sick of it. These old people." I say, "Do you forget you're also old?" That's the guy we're dealing with here. And he says, he just wants change. You know, my father all these years taught me, because my father's my assistant pastor now. That's all I'm going to say. I don't want to speak out from the family, so let me just carry on. He says to me, his advice to me, he gave me a lot of advice, but one of the things he says is when you take over a church, he says the first week or the first year, you walk behind the church. The second year, you walk next to the church. The third year, you walk in front of them. Okay, I tried doing that. It was a bit difficult for me because I wanted certain things changed. And there was a bit of a shock for him in terms of having to deal with all of the stuff I changed. Because, I mean, we just sort of started painting everything and building and changing and doing things in a different way. The worship, however, took longer. I think you can understand. People hold on to their hymns very strongly. And we've slowly but surely started changing it to the extent. And never mind, we are a Pentecostal church. Please make no mistake. So we've had the move of the Spirit and stuff, but it's really weird sometimes with the songs with which it happens. And so you've got all of this stuff that's taking place and all these changes that are taking place, but the funny thing is that we call our old ministry, and I mustn't say old in front of them, I just say the mature, or the 60 and over, that's what we call them. 60 and over we call the VIP ministry because they've earned that title, right? And they are the ones who have embraced this the most. It's the weirdest thing. I don't understand. It goes contrary to all knowledge and all understanding of what I'm used to when it comes to older people with regards to the mindsets that they come from and what they are doing now. They are the ones who, within this whole cross-cultural, multicultural thing, they are the ones that are sought out the most from our youngsters. And they say, "Listen, if we're having an event, please invite the VIPs." And I think this is crazy, because we had the big launch at the end of February where we had computer games and we had Nintendo Wii and we had all this other stuff. We were launching everything, was fat music and was going crazy, and here all these old people are walking around in the middle of this whole thing. I'm thinking, this is nuts. shouldn't be how it is, but at the end of the day, I'm so happy it was like that, because it really they beat us at table tennis. You should see. And they are there, and they are involved. And in many instances, they are the drivers of this thing. It's funny. It's weird. But I'm going with it. I'm not saying anything. I don't want to draw attention to it. But I'm going with it. And it's amazing to see and experience. So you will find not only resistance from people you've expected at the least, but you will find cooperation, perhaps, from the people you expected the least as well. And you will see, because I'm telling you this is not possible without Christ. It is not possible. You will not achieve this. And if God, through His power and through His grace, can change a mindset that's been ingrained for 60, 70, 80 years in some of the most hard-headed individuals otherwise that I've found in my life, just imagine what He can do with you who are open and receptive to the change that you want to be, not just see, but the change that you want to be. So pursue this change. Pursue it with your whole heart, understanding that you've got to always have this balancing act, because I always used to hear the story of, we can't offend the older guys because they're the ones who are supporting the church. The younger people don't do much, but the older people. And eventually I said, you know, God, you know, you just sort this out. And he has and he is. You know, it's often been said that, or rather, I've heard it said, and I want to tell you that you need to do this as well, that your vision does not flow to the money flows to the vision. Dream big. Dream big. Start with the end in mind. Start with what you have, and that's not my line, I took it from somewhere. Take the end goal, the thing that you want to see, and start acting like it is already there. That's what we found. That's what we did. And that's another thing. I didn't even have it in the notes. I've just remembered it now. We acted. When we made the decision and we said, this is how it's going to be, we acted, we spoke, we walked, we lived, we did everything like it was already there. And what that did was it almost forced the mindsets of the people to adapt faster. Because if you have the slow poison mentality and it starts happening very slowly, then change starts happening more slowly. But if you start acting and you say, this is the decision, I believe it's all about stepping out in faith. And saying, this is what we're going to do. I believe God honors that. God honors that. So let that be something that you can also be encouraged by. And I said the sub-point here, try to take everyone with you. It's only fair to give everyone a fair shot at this. You know, talking about motivating this thing properly. When it comes to cross-cultural, intercultural, multicultural, whatever you want to call it, there should be no need to motivate this. There should be no need. But motivate it anyway so that everyone can grasp it and understand it. But you will also find that some will, however, not go along. Some won't. And they might sit there. You know, it was really interesting for me because I know the people in this church of mine. And I know the older generation. And especially when it came to the change in music. Trust me, music has been a big problem with us over the years. And when it came to the change in music, we took about a year and a half where we slowly but surely, that was a slow poison one, we slowly but surely started adding new self-written songs and other stuff in. And then these oldies loved it. And they were just enjoying and getting into it. And then one morning, I think it was June, July last year, we just decided we're going to hit it now. And I knew what the outcome was going to be. Long before, I just knew what the outcome was going to be. And you've got them here and they're all worshipping with and enjoying it as long as they have the hymn. And they're all worshipping with and they're enjoying it. And then we hit them with a full array of new songs. And I caught the eye of one guy. And he goes to me, yeah, let's go outside, let's go talk. That's what he wanted. Out we went. And he said, listen, do you think this music is a little bit loud? I said to him, but it's the same volume it's always been. He says, what do you think about the song choice? I said, I've been okay with it. How do you feel? Because I think that's where the crux of the matter is. He says, yeah, look, can't we have a hymn? I said, you've got a hymn. We've just rewritten it. It's not the words, but the melody, the way we sang it, is you won't recognize some of the ways we re-sing the older songs. And some of the youngsters don't even know that some of the songs we are singing are hundreds of years old. But it's just, you know, in a new style and in a new vibe. And he wasn't quite happy with my answer, so now he comes every third Sunday. I've monitored this. I don't know where he goes the other three, but he comes once a month, and that's where he is. And that's what you're going to find. You're going to find some people who wholeheartedly embrace this and are dancing in the pews. And you're going to find other people who are going to be standing outside at the back. And you're going to find other people who are standing at the entrance of the door and waiting till worship finishes. You have that too. And so when it comes to this as well, you're going to be finding people who are looking at it from a distance and saying, well, this is something, let me check this out. You're going to find some people who are going to be hugging everyone. You're going to be finding other people who are just going to be saying, ish, this isn't for me, let me just decide, let me go somewhere else. But, and there's always a but to this, the reward far outweighs the cost. The reward far outweighs the cost. And there's another thing I want to say, and that is, please do not underestimate the power of God. That was a great place to say amen, guys. Really. Do not underestimate the power of God. Because God changes people. And he works in the lives of people. And he changes you totally. My final thing I want to share with you is this. Stick to the truth and always be genuine. Always be genuine. Don't try and be something that you're not. If you dress in a certain way, carry on like that. If you're going to be speaking in a certain way, carry on like that. If you change your dress sense, your hairstyle, and your way of talking and speaking, just because you've now all of a sudden gone cross-cultural, you're fooling no one. Okay? Just be yourself. Just be yourself, because that's what it is. It's about embracing the differences that there are and finding unity even within the differences. That's all it is. And there's only one who can facilitate that. I've been saying that this whole afternoon, and that is God. You know, stick to the truth. The truth sets you free. John 8:32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 14:6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father except through me. That's Jesus Christ. Therefore, Jesus is the center of this all, and it brings us full circle to this talk this afternoon, namely that you've got to keep the cross in cross-cultural. You've got to keep Christ in this. It's very easy to let this thing even become politicized. And you don't want to go there. Trust me, you don't want to go there. You want to keep it Christ-based. You want to keep it cross-centered. You know, you need no other agenda when Christ is the agenda. You need no other agenda when He is the agenda. Be truthful and transparent in all your actions. I don't know, and as I, the last point before I get to the very last point is, find your place. Don't pretend. Don't pretend to be something you're not. I don't know if any of you have seen this latest advert. It's been on for about a month, for Bright Rock Insurance. Have you seen this one? I'm sure you know it. It's where this old man is dressed in this t-shirt, and he says, yeah, these pimples are getting a little bit much for him. You know, his body's going through all these changes, and he's riding around on the bike, and he's sleeping late. He's still in this themed bed of his, and he's really talking like a teenager talks, and he looks like a sore thumb. This guy stands out completely. He does not seem like he's supposed to be there. And I laugh my head off every time, to the point where Chantal, my wife, is just looking at me saying, you're such an idiot. And I just sit there. That's, you know what? Our wives are there to keep us humble. And so here I am, and I see this advert every time, and I love her dearly. I just want to put that on record wherever. My wife is the best wife in the world. Where's this camera? Is there anything? Okay, no, right. Love you, baby. Okay, so we carry on now. He just stands out. He seems weird. And I love it. And it's the perfect example of what you're going to look like if you're trying to pretend to be something you're not. Be yourself. You know, as they say, when you're dating, when you first start, don't pretend to be someone you're not, because when you get married, that facade falls away very quickly. Be yourself. And allow the Lord to facilitate the unity and facilitate the spirit of acceptance between us. We are different for a reason. If God made you, if He wanted you to walk in a certain way, He would have made you to walk in that way. If He wanted you to talk in a certain way, He would have made you to talk in that way. The way He made you is the way you honor Him, by living that which He has made you to be. Right? And if we all have that approach, we can accept one another, and we can say, hey, you know what, we may look different, but that's where it ends. That's, you know, because number six, and the final thing this afternoon, is there is a massive reward. There is a massive reward for doing this. I can't begin to describe to you the reward that you have in doing something like this. It's the joy of being in His will, being Christ, and doing cross-cultural ministry in the way it was originally intended. Go back to the way the church was originally meant to be, and that's to be Christ to the world. To lead people into this place of discipleship. To lead people into this place where you start resembling Christ more. To lead people into this place where everything you say, everything that you do, brings glory and honor to the name of Jesus Christ. And I want to say, a church that's divided, a church that does not accommodate, a church that does not see things in the way that Christ sees and saw things, is not honorable to God. And we are the church. So when we live there in the world and we do what we do there in the world, please understand, you're being watched as God's children. And we don't act because we're being watched by man. We act because we're being watched by our Father in heaven, who expects certain things of us. And the gospel is for all people. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And with that, I'm finished. Thank you, and God bless you. Thank you for the interaction.
is dead men to their feet. You are strong, Lord.
Thank you for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.